These microphones are still on and still working. And I should not pull on the cords. Come on up, Aaron. You can have a seat just right over there. We have an Old Testament reading this morning that comes from the prophet Isaiah. I'd like to invite you if you would hear these words. Reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, it's verse 18 through 19. So translation, it's the King James Version. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Word of God. Let's see. Are you comfortable holding this, Aaron?
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When they got to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas were graciously received by the whole church, including the apostles and leaders. They reported on their recent journey and how God had used them to open things up to the outsiders. Some Pharisees stood up to say their piece. They had become believers, but continued to hold the hard party line of the Pharisees. You have to circumcise the pagan converts, they said. You must make them keep the law of Moses. The apostles and leaders called a special meeting to consider the matter. The arguments went on and on, back and forth, getting more and more heated. Then Peter took the floor. Friends, you well know that from early on, God made it quite plain he wanted the pagans to hear the message of this good news and embrace it, and not in any second-hand or roundabout way, but firsthand, straight from our mouth. And God, who can't be fooled by any pretense on our part, but always knows a person's thoughts, gave him the Holy Spirit exactly as he gave him to us. And he treated us, the outsiders, exactly as he treated us, beginning at the very beginning of who they were and working from that center outward, cleaning up their lives as they trusted and believed him. So why are you now trying to out-God God, loading these new believers down with rules that crushed our ancestors and crushed us too? Don't we believe that we are saved because the Master Jesus amazingly and out of sheer generosity moved to save us just as he did those from beyond our nation? So what are we arguing about? Acts chapter 15, verses 4 to 11, the message, the word of the God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us bow our heads. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we do give you thanks for these words that you have spoken and that you are speaking in our midst. And I pray, O God, that as our hearts come together and as we meditate upon these words, I pray, O Lord, that you may speak into our hearts, that you may speak into the heritage that we have come to live for many years, or maybe even the heritage that we are just discovering as United Methodist. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we'll be faithful to you. I thank you for the words that you have spoken and that you have given to me. I pray and ask that as I preach this morning, the words that I say, they will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and the one who saves us. Amen. Now, I do want to especially thank Aaron Kimbrell for standing in this place and for the excellent reading that he gave us this morning in this. You know, at a time when a lot of students, Aaron is one, a time when a lot of students are saying, you know, I absolutely don't want another assignment as the end of school comes. Aaron, he graciously agreed to do this morning. I wanted to have him come and read for us today. How many of you noticed how many words the preacher read and how many Aaron had? Yeah, the scale was very much on Aaron's side this morning. He had more words than I did. But again, you know, when we were trying to skip those assignments, he rose up and he took it. So thank you, Aaron. I really do. I appreciate it. In this reading from Acts chapter 15, this reading There is a controversy that emerged. Now, what is always, what has always struck me is that how quickly people of Jesus, how quickly people just like us, people of faith, people who believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, how quickly we can come into controversy. And there was. There was controversy. There were people that were just beginning in Acts chapter 15. There were people who were just beginning to learn about this, to learn what does this mean? What does this mean that there is a God that has sent God's own Son into this world and has now raised His own Son from the dead? What does it mean? What does it mean not only for that God, but what does it mean for me? And what does it mean for the promise that if God has raised Jesus from the dead, that at the end of my life, that I will be raised from the dead? Some of those people who had, well, imagined what the Messiah would look like. From some of those people who had given their hearts and their lives, and they imagined what would resurrection, how could that happen? What would that consist of? In Acts chapter 15, as some of those people came together, who had a Jewish faith, were Jewish believers who had now come to follow Jesus, had now come to live into this life of being raised from the dead with that hope and that expectation that they saw with Jesus that just as Christ had been raised from the dead, that they too will be raised from the dead. They begin to raise this controversy and this question and say, well, all of those people, is it important? Is it in fact necessary for them to become Jewish before they become Christians? And they met together in the Council of Jerusalem. This is what Acts chapter 15 does, is it shows us this. But one of those things that the prophet Isaiah reminded us long before Jesus and long before this council met together is that when we come together, we can find reason in our midst. We know that there are a lot of things that can tear us apart. We know that there are a lot of things that can divide us, and yet the prophet Isaiah reminds us what can happen when we come and let reason bring us together. In fact, the Nicene Creed that we read today, 1,700 years ago this year, around that idea, is Jesus eternal? Is Jesus divine? And that council, they came together and they asked that question, come and let us reason together. And they came to answers. They came to conclusions that very much guide our lives as Christians today. Even yesterday with Grace Point Gals. In this space, this very space, Amy Glenn from Auburn United Methodist Church, she came and she shared her testimony. She came and shared her story, the life that she had lived. She talked about being divorced. She talked about what it means to not only be divorced, but what it means to be a single mom raising a child. She told a story about the death of her spouse. Once again, finding herself as a single mom raising not just a single child, but many children. And she said, how will I make it? That's what she shared in her testimony. It's right here from this space. She said, how will I make it? And she said, you know, I came across a scripture of John chapter 10, verse 10, that says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then she hears these words of Jesus that says, but I have come that they might have life, and that they have it more abundantly. It's John chapter 10, verse 10. Eugene Peterson in the Message translation offers this translation of John 10:10 in this way. I came, when Jesus says, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they have ever dreamed of. Imagine a council. Imagine a council for you that would come together that says, what does real life look like for you? Imagine a council that would come together that would say, what does eternal life look like for you? A more and better life. A more and better life than you have ever dreamed of. Well, Acts chapter 15 provides insight into what this kind of council might look like for us. Because what we would discover if we really did take to heart, what would that kind of council look like? What would it mean to be part of that kind of council that would say that this is what it would look like for you to live a more and better life than you have ever dreamed of? Well, Acts chapter 15 would remind us along the way to not stop what God is already doing. In fact, in our reading from this morning that Aaron read so well for us in Acts chapter 15, verse 10, chapter and verse says it this way, "So why are you now trying to out-God God?" You know, one of the things that happens is that when we come together and that we reason together, that the Holy Spirit touches us. That the Holy Spirit inspires us and empowers us to speak in a moment and ask the very question that why are we trying to outdo what God has already given to us? Don't stop what God is already doing. But also, when we come together, that when we come and we meet together, and when we put at the very center of our lives, what does it mean to reason together? It builds momentum. It builds momentum not only for us personally and individually, but it builds momentum for us together as a congregation, as a church. It happens here in the local church. It will happen again toward the end of this month as North Alabama brings United Methodists from all over North Alabama to come together and to let us reason together. Acts chapter 15, verse 8 through 9 says it this way, "God has treated the outsiders exactly as He has treated us, beginning at the very center of who they were and working from that center outward, cleaning up their lives as they trusted and believed in Him." Imagine that kind of momentum. That just as God has worked from the very center of our hearts and our souls, the very center of our lives, that now God is doing it in other people. It's the kind of stuff that can make us excited really fast. But also when we come and when we reason together, we discover that God is already at work. It's a large part of the testimony Amy shared yesterday. That what we find out is that God oftentimes is not waiting on us to form counsel, is not waiting for us to finally put it on our calendars, finding the right date and the right time and the right place and the right people who are there and also the right people who are not there, which we tend to do sometimes as churches. But God is already at work, just waiting for us, just waiting for us to come together, because God has already moved. And oftentimes our councils, yeah, they may be late. In fact, the controversy that Tim was reminding us of this morning, the Arian controversy that came together, historians and scholars will point and say what Arius was raising were issues and they were concerns that had been happening for many years and finally came to a place where a council did come together. Imagine our own reasoning together. Imagining our own coming together and discovering God's already been at work. God has already been at work here. In fact, as Acts chapter 15 reminds us, this is Acts chapter 15, the final verse that we read together this morning. Acts chapter 15, verse 11. Don't we believe that we are saved because the Master Jesus, amazingly, and out of sheer generosity, moved to save us, just as He did those from beyond our nation? So what are we arguing about? Imagine. That's when we're at our best. That's when we're at our best, is that when we do come together as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and as Christ has invited all of us to be as disciples of Jesus, that when we come and when we reason together, we finally discover what God has already done. That is the good news. That is, in fact, the gospel. When we come, we offer handshakes and we offer hugs and we offer those embraces as this council comes to an end, and we remind ourselves, what were we arguing about to start with? What were we arguing about in the very beginning? Because what God has generously done is that just as God has generously saved us, well, God continues to generously save others as well. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your sheer generosity, and we thank You, O God, for the reasoning and the ability that You have given to each one of us. We thank You for moments that we can call upon the church, moments that we can come together as councils, Lord, and we can seek Your will and Your way. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for life. for abundant life. We thank you for real and eternal life. And Lord, as your counsel here, as the people of Grace Point, Lord, let us live into that life. Let us turn away from that life that the thief offers us so often. That is a life that is stolen from us, a life that is taken away from us. But let us, O God, let us refuse that life. And let us walk on this day into that real and eternal life, that abundant life, that more and better life than any of us could ever dream up on our own. Let us live that life. And let us, O God, reason together how that life can be possible for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I would like to invite